This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salli wa usallimu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan al-alameen. Ba'athahu Allahu shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira wa da'iyan ila Allahi bi'idnihi wa sirajan munira. First and foremost, before I start the lecture, I just want to say I'm extremely taken aback by how many of the Shabab turned up. And that is because there is a World Cup game at 7 p.m, right? Even subhanAllah, our brother Hussein, I said to him, do you think it's maybe a good idea to change the time so that it doesn't clash with the World Cup game, right? So the fact that you guys decided to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to listen to what Allah mentioned and also what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned is something that every single one of you guys should be commended for, right? Well, I honestly, as I was driving here, I was like, oh, they're probably going to go and watch Messi mess up their lives, you know? I think it's Argentina playing, sahih? جزاكم الله خيرا وأحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم. The fact that you all came to attend the gathering, it really, really shows that there is goodness in every single one of your hearts. And when you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my beloved brothers and sisters, at a time when there are a lot of distractions, did you know, brothers, that the reward is far greater? This is why the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us in an authentic hadith, من دخل السوق فقال لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. When you enter into the markets and then you read this dua, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, كتب الله له ألف ألف حسنة ومحى عنه ألف ألف أو ألف ألف سيئة ورفع له ألف ألف درجة. I know some of the scholars, they've got their observations on this hadith, but others did authenticate it, right? However, point of the matter is, my brothers and my sisters, right, there's even a qa'ida, the likes of Ibn Rajab rahmatullahi alayhi, extrapolate from a hadith such as this one, and also when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-ibadatu fil harji kahijratin ilayya. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at a time when people are killing one another is like doing hijrah. Subhanallah. Doing hijrah to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reward is not light when one does that. Imagine you leave everything behind. We live here in Derby, right? Well, you guys live in Derby. Imagine you leave everything behind and you say, khalas, I'm going to go to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You think that reward is light, my beloved brothers and sisters? No, it's not. Right? So when one worships Allah Azza wa Jal, right, he really goes out his way to put effort into what Allah Azza wa Jal told him to do. And I know it's not easy, especially in the 21st century. Al-ujur ala qadr al-mashaqqa. One is rewarded in accordance to how much difficulty he goes through. You will be rewarded inshaAllah ta'ala immensely. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless you. InshaAllah ta'ala, you guys can watch the highlights later. What we're about to discuss is far more important. May Allah bless you all. As you guys are aware, my brothers and my sisters, our discussion today is about a Muslim identity. We are living in a time and age, my brothers and my sisters, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us over 1400 years ago, right? لَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ الْقَابِضُ عَلَى دِينِهِ كَالْقَابِدِ عَلَى الْجَمَرِ. Holding on to your religion will be like holding on to hot coal. I don't know if you guys have shisha bars around here, right? Imagine walking past and I'm picking up one of these coals that is being used to light the shisha. Would you be able to hold on to it? You wouldn't. Holding on to your religion will become extremely, extremely difficult. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also told us in a hadith, من أشراط الساعة أن يقل العلم. From the signs of the hour is that knowledge will become scarce, will lessen as time goes on. ويظهر الجهل. Ignorance becomes prevalent. Ignorance becomes prevalent, and we are seeing it right before our eyes. Back in the day, you would have to sit in the masjid in order for you to be heard. Sahih? If you had something to say, you go to the masjid and you make it heard. And the scholars at the time, they will put you in your place if you were speaking out of line. However, today, you just open a what? Twitter account, sahih? The bird that has been let free recently. The bird that has been let free. Where you just start posting. You become a keyboard warrior. Right? You guys know what keyboard warrior is? Where one just types, huh? Behind the screen. Nobody knows who he is. Abu Fulan, wa Ummu Fulana, or Ummu Fulan, not Fulana, or Ummu Fulan. Right? Just typing away, writing whatever comes to his mind, and one just speaks out of ignorance. You might be sitting in McDonald's and one's giving out what fatawa? He's giving out Islamic verdicts. Misguiding and misleading the people. Right? In the last week or so, my brothers and my sisters, it really, really touched me that, subhanAllah, a couple of scholars all passed away, one after the other, very, very quickly. And it reminded me of the hadith when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, that there will come a time, right? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَقْبِضُ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ انْتِزَاعًا يَنْتَزِعُ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ وَلَكِنْ يَقْبِضُ الْعِلْمَ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, right, will not pull this knowledge out of the people. He won't pull it out of their hearts. But rather the way the ilm becomes more and more less, brothers and sisters, is when the scholars, they start departing from this world, one after the other. Up until there is no scholar that remains. اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا. They will begin to take ignorant people as their leaders. فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم. They will be asked and they will begin to give verdicts without knowledge. فضلوا وأضلوا. They will mislead themselves and they will mislead others as well. Even the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, another hadith, he said, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَى غَيْرِ أَهْلِ فَانْتَظِرْ سَاعَةً. When you see the affair that is being brought back to other than its people, then wait for the hour. It's very near. We are living in these times, brothers. Going back to the hadith that I was mentioning, from the signs of the hour is that ilm becomes less, ignorance becomes what? Prevalent, widespread. وَيَظْهَرَ الزِّنَا. You know what also will become extremely widespread? الزِّنَا. Immoral practices that take place outside of marriage. You know, brothers and sisters, approximately in 2015, I used to go around giving lectures at the different masajid. Right? I even, you know, Sheikh Abu Hassan used to invite me here to do the khutbah. It's been a very long time. I went to a couple of the masajid. There was a time, subhanAllah, when az-zina within our community was becoming extremely widespread. A woman becoming impregnated outside of marriage. This is back 2015. Right? Before I went to Al-Medina. I used to tell the parents, right? Don't be surprised if tomorrow, your daughter brings home Mark. You guys know who Mark is? A non-Muslim Mark. I'm not speaking about the reverb. Brings home Mark or brings home John. Or Muhammad decides to bring home Charlotte and says, Dad, I want to, you know, have a relationship with her. I remember the parents, they looked at me and they said, what is this guy talking about? Right? They were a little bit like, I would also say in the same lecture, uncles, do not be surprised tomorrow if Muhammad, brings home Bob. Because at the time, This is hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I was quoting to the people when he said, "Inna akhwafa ma akhafu alaykum, or inna akhwafa ma akhafu ala ummati 'amalu qawmi Lut." That which I fear the most for my ummah is the practices of the people of Lut. I don't think that requires an introduction, right? Everybody knows what it is. We are living in a very colorful time, sahih? Even the zebra crossing now is very different colors. Huh? And by the way, I just want to point it out, just in case we have someone here that works for Channel 4, looking to cut up whatever I'm saying. I am not here to incite violence, right? Or harassment towards anyone. I'm a compassionate imam. I spread peace, right? We have non-Muslims, my brothers and my sisters, non-Muslims, who are holding on to their morals and their values. Non-Muslims. I've said it before, I'll just quickly mention it now, inshaAllah ta'ala. You guys heard of Boris Johnson, sahih? Everyone here knows who Boris Johnson is. Boris Johnson, he had one of these MPs that used to work for him called Jacob Rees-Mogg. You guys heard of him? You may have heard me quote him in some of the khutbahs that I did. Jacob Rees-Mogg was one of Boris Johnson's right-hand men. He was invited over onto the Good Morning Show. You guys know the Good Morning Show? You guys heard of Piers Morgan? Huh? Piers Morgan. تسمعون عنه? No. Everyone knows him, right? Piers Morgan. But that's before he left Good Morning Show. Now he has his own show. They kept on pushing this Christian Orthodox. That's what he calls himself. He identifies as a practicing Christian, Jacob Rees-Mogg. And they kept on asking him, what is your view? What is your view on same-sex marriages? And by the way, I'm just quoting. I'm not here to express my own views and opinions. Huh? Every time, you know what he says? According to the teachings of the church. This is a non-Muslim who works as an MP in parliament, not scared to hold on to what he believes. Right? He's not scared. He's not inciting violence, is he? Or harassment? No, he's not. He's just holding on to what I believe. And Piers Morgan is still poking him and the lady that was next to him. It's online. You can find the... It's on YouTube. I really benefited from this. A lot. A lot. I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to guide him. Huh? But he was an inspiration to us when it came to being vocal about some of these pressing issues, brothers and sisters. I'm mentioning this because there is a big, important aspect of my lecture that I really want to share with you guys. It's non-Muslim, Christian Orthodox. Comes out and he says, according to the teachings of the church. And he asks, but what is your view? He goes, according to the teachings of the church. Imagine that. SubhanAllah. But then when it comes to us Muslims, why is it, my brothers and my sisters, that when you are asked about your gender, one, he thinks three times. One thinks three times. He's asked, are you male or female? He thinks what three times? Should I say, what's the hidden agenda? How can I maybe compromise so I don't get into trouble? You are not going to get into trouble. If you hold on to your morals and your values, I have spoken to enough lawyers and solicitors before I started being vocal about it. I've gone to maybe over 10 masajid and spoken about this topic. Not a single one of them got me banned or cancelled. Because I quote. I don't express my own views and opinions. Right? Later on, subhanAllah, you guys want to even know what's more shocking. We are, by the way, in the UK. In the UK. I believe there is 363 conservative MPs. Did you know, my brothers and my sisters, more than half voted against same-sex marriages? It was on the BBC. I went through all the names. From the Conservative Party, more than half voted against it. But the bill was still passed. Again, I'm just quoting. You know why it was passed? Because you had Labour Party, and you had even Muslims who sold out. You had even Muslims that sold out. right? My brothers and my sisters, I'm sure you guys came across those heartbreaking videos where you had young children, right? The ages of what? 10, 11. In one of the masajid in London, who started singing the national anthem. Right? That's one thing. Later on, when they were being interviewed, they were saying statements such as, the Queen deserves to be in Jannah. Right? And again, my brothers and my sisters, I'm not inciting violence or harassment towards the monarchy or anyone else. I'm just quoting, letting you guys know what's in videos. Right? How do you think, my brothers and my sisters, we have reached this particular point in our society? Does anyone know? Let's brainstorm. Why do you think all of this is happening? I gave you guys certain examples pertaining to what people today identify as. We have to respect people's pronouns, right? One can wake up today and he can say, I identify as a woman. Say? Or I can identify as an animal. And you have to respect his pronouns. There are people who are holding on to what they personally feel to be what? Morally acceptable. Then you have children who absolutely have no issue with saying whatever they said, and we can't even blame them because they're still young kids. They go to these schools, being indoctrinated. Why do you think all of this is actually happening? Or why has things led to this particular point? Can anyone tell me? Hiya Jama'ah. It's one thing identifying the problem, it's another finding a solution. In order for you to find a solution, you need to realize, okay, how did we get here? What led to this problem or what led to this issue? In order to be able to solve it, so we could take the necessary precaution. Man yujibuni. Tfaddal.
There's one more importance given to the wishes or desires.
More importance is given to wishes and desires. Like, anyone else?
People let go of their moral values.
People let go of their morals and their values. Anyone else?
Lack of education from elders, parents.
Lack of education from elders and parents. Anyone else? Mashallah, the people in Dabi are...
Ignorance.
Ignorance. Good. Anything else? Wallahi, brothers and sisters, we are living in very scary times. Very, very scary times. When I said that in 2015, I remember some of the parents that were sitting at the back of the masjid. I honestly thought that I was going to get banned from there. You know why? Because they looked like they were about to go crazy. I told myself, probably after the lecture, they're going to go straight to the idara, straight to the administration, and get me banned from the masjid. This is me just out of care and concern, I'm telling the parents. Wallahi al-azim, my brothers and my sisters, right? I wouldn't be exaggerating if I said maybe in the last 6 months or so, I've personally received 40 to 50 cases of parents extremely concerned about how their child is identifying himself. In the beginning, I used to get very shocked. Very, very shocked. Oh, subhanAllah, it's happening. But then, I think the correct word to maybe use is I became a little bit desensitized. Because it just keeps on happening, keeps on happening, keeps on happening. Right? As some of our brothers and sisters alluded to, brothers, have kindly mentioned, right? Ignorance, lack of knowledge, right? Ask yourself this question. If we as a generation, right, don't have the tools, or we haven't equipped ourselves with the tools to repel all of these doubts that are coming our way, how do you think, my brothers and my sisters, our children are going to deal with it? How do you think they're going to deal with it? Let me tell the parents a recent video that went viral on TikTok. I believe he's either French or German. And by the way, just to let you guys know, There are 8 billion human beings on the face of this earth, right? An eighth of that, 1 billion are on TikTok. 1 billion. Me, I have a very strong stance against TikTok. I warn against it. You don't have to agree with me, right? I genuinely just warn against it. I know someone's going to say, oh, but all your videos are on TikTok. Huh? A brother, not so long ago, he said, I don't know anyone that warns against TikTok more than Abu Taymiyyah. And he's the one going viral on TikTok. Right? Toxic by nature. All the kids are on there. It's a music app that has been created for one to record himself, shaking himself, right? With music being played in the background. Am I being oppressive, guys? Isn't this what is mainly happening on there? Got an old guy, he puts on a woman's costume and then he starts shaking himself. Sahih? Before I move on to the point that I wanted to make, I'd send this into my family group because I have a relative. Every time I talk about TikTok, she gets upset. Right? I posted this in the group the other day and I put a comment. It says a lot, huh? These are some of the statistics pertaining to TikTok. People in China, they were asked, yani the kids were asked, how many children are asked? Let me have a quick look. 3,000 children from the ages of 8 to 12 surveyed in 2019. What do you want to be when you grow older? In China, they were asked, what do you think they said?
Doctor engineer.
Huh?
Doctor engineer.
Sorry?
Doctor.
Anyone else?
TikTok.
In China? Come on, guys. I'm going to tell you guys. 56%, you know what they said? They said astronaut. 56% of that, they said astronaut. The second after that, you know what it was? A teacher. And you know what came after that? A musician. That which follows is a professional athlete. And a very small percentage of that said, vlogger slash YouTuber. Then you come to the USA. What do you think the majority opinion was? Vlogger and a YouTuber. Vlogger and a YouTuber. And the same goes to those in the UK. You know, in China, my brothers and my sisters, just to let you guys know, it was actually China that created TikTok. Huh? Their type of TikTok is called Douyin. Huh? Douyin is only accessible in mainland China. You know what the algorithm there is? Advanced live streaming features, group live streams, screen recordings, and also voice comments. The algorithm, you know where it takes them? How to create things, things that are educational and so on and so forth. However, TikTok is accessible across the world except China. Hiya, Jama'a. TikTok is accessible everywhere except China. They only get a basic live streaming. Stream chat, Q&A. And lives with only one co-host. Very limited, huh? Compared to what China have access to. But again, all the filth and the evil has been what? Spewed on everyone else other than China. Ala kulli hal. There was a video that was going around, my brothers and my sisters, and I honestly feel that everyone here should be extremely, extremely concerned. 1 billion are on there, mainly young ones. This imam, he's meant to be an imam, right? He has transgender in front of him. A man who's dressing, I can't even say man anymore, I have to say, you know, guy who's wearing, no, I can't even say that, but the one who's wearing, the one who's wearing the women costume and whatever have you. And this person who identifies as a transgender is asking, what does Islam say about all of this stuff? Excuse me, parents, wallahi, this is what they're teaching our children in schools. Right? This is what they're teaching them in schools. Someone may feel extremely uncomfortable, me maybe mentioning some of these things. But my wife, the other day, went to, I believe it was Lidl. And then she took pictures of some of the books that are being sold. She took pictures of it. Cartoon type books that are propagating homosexuality. Yesterday someone sent me a book that has a cartoon character of a woman with hijab. You open it up, it has all of that stuff. You know how they say, don't judge a book by its cover? It applies here. Don't judge a book by its cover. Kids as young as 4 and 5 and 6 are being exposed to all of this, brothers and sisters. So this imam, right? He's being asked. What does Islam say about all this stuff? And then he says, the Quran is only speaking about rape. It's not speaking about consensual same-sex relationships. How would you respond? The kids are watching this, brothers. Last time I checked, they had 2 million views. This is maybe before I went to Umrah, maybe 3-4 weeks ago. They had 2 million views. Kids are what? Scrolling, huh? من الصباح إلى المساء. Scrolling. Seeing all sorts of filth, becoming desensitized to it. How do we respond to that, brothers and sisters? It's only speaking about rape, he said. It's not speaking about consensual same-sex relationships. Huh? Jama'ah, I want answers. Huh? Brothers, wallahi, even at the time when I heard it, it took me by shock. And it kind of unsettled me a little bit, but then I just went back to basics. Let me ask you guys a question. Is there in any time and situation where a man can look at another man's private area? Even the doctor, right? الضرورات تقدر بقدرها. If he's now treating you, he's not allowed to see every part of a man's aura. Agreed? He has to only treat that part. والضرورة تقدر بقدرها. It's a ضرورة now that he's treating one's private part. But even then, he can't just uncover you completely. Only that part is uncovered. That which is going to cover the need. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Right? Just going back to basics. Huh? But he actually threw a lot of us off. A man's not allowed to look at another man, whether it is consensual or not in our Sharia. That is معلوم من الدين بالضرورة. It is known in the religion by necessity. Agreed? This is one of the responses. And there are other responses as well. He's talking about it's only rape. What do you mean it's only rape? And we just mentioned this particular point here, my brothers and my sisters. الشاهد من الكلام, my brothers and my sisters, right? We are currently suffering from an ideological war. It's not swords again, right? It's not swords that the non-Muslims are using. Huh? That they may have used in the past to colonize some of the Muslim countries of the past. You speak to an Algerian person, you can't mention France to him. Speak to an Algerian person? I have a lot of Algerian friends back in Medina. Wallahi, they hear the term France, huh? You can see, huh? His behavior begins to change. His blood begins to boil. Because of what they done to their forefathers. One brother even said to me, we don't say Faransa, we say Firansa. بكسر الفاء, كسرها الله. Right? We put a kasra on France. Why? Because if you look at the word kasra, huh? You know, كسرها الله, you know, it sounds very similar, meaning may Allah break it. Huh? They boil. Why? Because of how the blood of their forefathers was spilled when they were colonized. right? However, the strategy has changed. It's no longer that. It is no longer the non-Muslim who is maybe going to use their shotguns and whatever have you. In most times, they've seen that there is a more effective strategy to strip the people of their identity. And that is through indoctrination. David Rockefeller, he one time said, "I don't want a nation of thinkers, those who think for themselves." David Rockefeller is part of one of the most wealthiest families on the face of this earth. Those who are actually running the world at the moment. I don't want a nation of thinkers, I want a nation of workers. He himself says, "We funded the feminist movement." He says this. We funded it. Why? So we could get the mothers out of the home, and then we can tax both what? The father and the mother. And then we can indoctrinate and brainwash their children at school. Malcolm X, you guys heard of him? Malcolm X said, "Only a fool will allow his enemy to teach his children." He said this decades ago, right? Right, they picked up on a lot. Subhanallah. At a very early stage. So as you guys can see, my brothers and my sisters, there's an ideological war to strip you off your faith. You know, for a very long time, our parents would say to us, and I think everyone here can testify to that, our parents would say, "Muhammad, Khadija, don't hang around with so-and-so." Agreed? Why? Because they will influence you. You will come out with bad traits, hanging around with the drug dealer, hanging around with the fasiqa, and so on and so forth. Sahih? A parent would say, "Alhamdulillah, my daughter is at home. My son is at home. Alhamdulillah, he's not hanging around with drug dealers. He's not hanging around with fusaq. Alhamdulillah, I can go to sleep peacefully." Agreed? Thinking that that's the only way that someone may become corrupted, the only way, these days are long gone. Finished. A child can be sitting in their home between the four walls. Agreed? Between the four walls. And he or she has access to far more than if they were to go outside. One of our mashayikh, his name is Sheikh Abdul Qadir Ata, a professor in Jami'at al-Islamiyah. You know what he said? Right? And I found this when I was revising for my Masters of Aqidah. I came across some of his papers. He said, "Once upon a time we would tell the shuyukh, the dakatira, the professors, do not expose the students to all of these different innovations and doubts. Don't." You know why? Because it's very highly unlikely that they will come across this when they go back home. You know? Sometimes you mentioning something will bring certain things to one's attention. He said, "You don't need to," but he goes, "Now the whole world has become like a small little village." Agreed? The whole world has become like a small little village. Everything what is a fingertip away, sahih? All types of doubts. My parents who are here, my uncles and my aunties, on a regular basis, this is just on Instagram, I receive hundreds and hundreds of messages on a weekly basis. How many of them are suffering from doubts? They have doubts. Whether it is doubts due to feminism, whether it is doubts due to liberalism, whether it is doubts due to all these colorful things, atheism, simply because he clicked on a hashtag. Clicked on a hashtag, and then he became exposed to a whole different world. Your brothers and sisters with me. Right. Now what's the solution? I gave you guys, I think I spoke for like what? 40 minutes. Rambling on about the situation that we're in. and what we're going through, what's happening today in our society, and this and that. Ma huwa al-hal. Are you guys very well accustomed to qissatu ashab al-kahf? The story of the companions of the cave. Innahum fityatun amanu bi rabbihim wa zidnahum huda. They were a group of young men. Ma ashbaha al-laylata bil bariha. How similar is what's happening tonight with what happened last night? It's a Arabic term, right, that is used to show that, oh, what's happened yesterday is happening right before our eyes again. Things are just repeating itself. مَا أَشْبَهَ اللَّيْلَةَ بِالْبَارِحَةِ إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. They were a group of young men who were the children of individuals who had high positions in society. They worked for the monarchy. The children of ministers, princes, and so on and so forth. Right? On the day of their celebration, my brothers and my sisters, on the day of their Eid, the families went out to a festival where they had these idols. These young men, fitya. The fact that Allah Azza wa Jal is referring to them as fitya is what? A praise. Young men worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal at a time when all the odds are stacked up against you. They felt extremely uncomfortable. Something doesn't seem right. Right? Something doesn't seem right. I'm really, really hoping that the shabab of our ummah at least feel that there is something that isn't right. With everything that is happening around us, and one can easily get desensitized. You guys know what desensitization means? Huh? You know when you keep hearing something time and time again, if at the beginning you disagree, but you keep on hearing, it's only a matter of time before you become accepting to it. Agreed? Huh? You will learn to live with it, to be tolerant towards it. That's what desensitization means. When you keep on hearing something, that's what's happening. However, these shabab, they saw this, their fitrah, their natural disposition separated them from this idol worship, and they went to stand under this tree outside of this temple that their fathers and their mothers were gathered around. They all were scared. Because one after the next, each one is saying to himself, why is this guy here? Is he here because he feels the same way I do? SubhanAllah. And then one, just decided to speak out. And this is me just paraphrasing. You guys are here because you know that there is something seriously wrong here. That which was built innate within them, right, made them take that particular path. They tried to give da'wah to their people, called them to a tawheed. However, they were what? They were charged with, you are this, you are that. If you continue, then you will be dealt with accordingly. Bombarded. They were threatened. Their lives were at risk. And then they what? They ran away. To safety. And hid in that cave, subhanAllah. Right? And made a lot of dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هؤلاء قوم اتخذوا من دونه آلهة لولا يأتون عليهم بسلطان بين فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا. Right. Allah عز وجل also tells us, وربطنا على قلوبهم إذ قاموا فقالوا ربنا رب السماوات والأرض. لن ندعو من دونه إلها لقد قلنا إذا شططا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they decided to do the right thing, He strengthened their hearts. Right? And they uttered that which is correct. My brothers and my sisters, this is very similar to what we are dealing with in today's day and age. Where there's an ideological attack on our faith, on our morals and our values. The reason why what you dislike will become extremely widespread is when we stop doing that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that is studying His religion. Like I said before, it should not surprise us that if tomorrow our children, Muhammad is bringing home Mark, and Charlotte is being what? Walked with up and down the street by Khadija, right? That should really, really raise alarm bells in our heads, brothers and sisters. Because we don't know, do you expect them to know? When the truth becomes weak, the opposite will get a stronghold. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi said, إِذَا ضَعُفَتِ السُّنَّةِ قَوِيَةِ الْبِدْعَةِ. When the sunnah becomes weak, the opposite, which is what? Innovations, they become strong. And you can say that across the board. With whatever it might be. You know, you had feminism, extremely widespread, sahih? Right? And then the red pill movement came about. A movement that is trying to empower men. You're always going to find the opposite coming out like that. Simply because the right thing is not being propagated. And you'll see this across history. We have to really take a good look at ourselves, my brothers and my sisters. And we need to stop being in denial. Right? It's one thing identifying the problem, it's another finding the solution. And if you can't identify the problem simply because we are in denial, then you won't be able to find a solution. Right? You are Muhammad. And your name is Fatima. Remember, my brothers and my sisters, what our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through. Just so we could have Islam on a plate. Your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Battle of Uhud, he had his helmet crushed, his face gashed, and his tooth broken, brothers and sisters, for the sake of what? They wanted to practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know what happened to Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A big huge rock was brought and placed on top of him under the scorching heat. That hasn't happened to any of us who's sitting here, I assume. And he is there, ahadun ahad, the one and only Allah, the one and only Allah. Right? You guys heard of Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha? The first martyr, I didn't say female martyr, the first martyr in an Islam. Right? She was one of the first to accept al-Islam. You know how they killed her? They took a huge arrow, they tied her onto the ground, and then they put it in between her legs. This is what they went through, my brothers and my sisters, to practice their religion. But today, Muhammad, he dresses like who? Dresses like Kanye West, sahih? Or he dresses like that guy with rainbow hair. What's his name? Tenshashion or something like that? Or 6ix9ine? The guy's got rainbow teeth, He's got rainbow hair as well. Dressed like him. Our daughters want to be like these pop stars and these singers and these YouTubers. Your name is Muhammad. Your name is Abdullah. Your name is Umar. Your name is Uthman and Abdurrahman. Right? You are a Muslim. Right? It's no ifs and no buts. When you are someone who is principled, my brothers and my sisters, you will walk on the face of this earth mu'azzaz mukarram, honorable, walking on the face of this earth, brothers and sisters. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would say, نَحْنُ أُمَّةٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a people that have been honored through Islam. The moment we desire other than Islam, my brothers and my sisters, أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal will humiliate us. Not so long ago, they asked me to deliver a lecture, right, called Psychological Defeat. How does one become psychologically defeated? Right? Without someone even physically looking to take you down. The moment you begin to feel, I have to conform, I have to what, fit in, I have to look like them. Right? I am not saying, my brothers and my sisters, that we're going to walk around the streets of Derby, screwing at everyone that comes across our face. That. We coexist. Right? Christmas is coming up. Am I going to walk into work giving everyone a dirty look? It's not even about that anymore. Right? One feels, or he looks for excuses that I have to what? Do everything that they do, and you know, we have to rub shoulders. Like, this is my religion, this is your religion. Right? With a smile on my face. Right? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm sure, if he was working here today, do you think he'll be attending some of these party boopers, whatever they call them? On Christmas Day or in the Christmas period, going around saying Merry Christmas. Or Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, do you think this is how we will behave? No, I'm going to call you to al-Islam, right? We are going to coexist peacefully, but these are my morals and my values. The moment we begin to feel that I have to be like them, psychological defeat. Are you brothers and sisters with me? Again, I'm going to reiterate. I am not saying, right, that you have to profess animosity, or that you have to walk around harassing anyone, or being violent. We are here going to coexist in a peaceful manner. Are you brothers and sisters with me? However, it's my religion, and then you have your religion. Right? The companions, when they heard the command of Allah Azza, it was no ifs and no buts. It wasn't. The command was sent down when it came to Khamar straight away. I believe it was Talha ibn Ubaidillah who was what? Pouring Khamar for his master. Right? And then they heard the command straight away stopped. And then they started pouring the Khamar on the roads. The eye of the hijab came down, right? The female companions that were running around, how can I cover my head? And with anything, straight away like that. It was no ifs and it was no buts. This is my religion, I'm going to hold on to it. My morals and my values. Just like these non-Muslims, right? They hold on to their morals and their values. What he believes is what is going to be pushed. Right? And all of this, like I said, my brothers and my sisters, is ilm. We need to study. Right? Fitna to shubuhat and fitna to shahawat, right? These two fit in. If you look at just about every sin that we fall into, it stems off from these two. The fitna of doubts and the fitna of temptations. And what will save you from both of these fitna is what? Al-ilmu nafi', to study your religion. Sooner rather than later. Before that which displeases us will start to unfold right before our eyes. And then we will begin to wish and want. But it may well be too late, my brothers and my sisters. Right? You go to these universities, do you not see fitna to shubhat? You go into philosophy class. That professor does not care whether you're a Christian or you're a Jew or a Muslim. He just cares about stripping you of your faith. I've been to university, I've seen what happens. And they glorify and venerate critical thinking. You guys know what critical thinking is? They glorify it for you and venerate it. And then temptations all over these universities. Everything is what? Hey, telecom. Right? Tickets to the club is what? £4 and £5. I just went past 27 universities. I went to all these universities, alhamdulillah. I haven't been cancelled yet. Huh? Not a single university got me cancelled, alhamdulillah. Min Allah, wallah. Huh? And we spoke about a lot of these things that is going to protect the students at the universities, right? However, it's not easy. Temptations everywhere. Huh? The tickets are £5 to go to the club, £5. When we were growing up, it was something like £19 and £20. This is back in, over a decade and a half ago. To make it easy. Huh? Al-ilm, my brothers and my sisters. I have a lecture on my YouTube channel. It's called Surah Yusuf. Right? If you just type in Yusuf, alayhi salam, my name on YouTube. It's one of the latest lectures that we released that I was delivering at the universities. Inshallah ta'ala, in there is more than enough to protect you from a lot of the fitan that we are struck with in today's day and age. Yeah. Barakallahu feekum wa ahsanallahu ilaykum. And I apologize if I offended anyone. I hope I didn't. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless every single one of you guys and make you from amongst the salihin and make us also from amongst the righteous. Innahu waliyu dhalika wal qadiru alayh. Are we going to stop there, or are we going to do Q&A? Huh? Well, a sheikh mawjood. Huh? You guys have a sheikh within your ranks. Allahumma barik. I don't want to praise him too much to his face. You have Sheikh Abu al-Hassan as well. Right? Just because they're not on YouTube, my brothers and my sisters, doesn't mean that, he's not certified. Today, the guy who is certified in the minds of many is the one on TikTok, sahih? Sheikh TikTok, huh? Or the one on Instagram? Wallahi, brothers, you guys have people of knowledge amongst you. Benefit from them. Right? Barakallahu feekum. Huh? Do you guys have any questions? Tafadhal.
For the youth, what's your best advice to get closer to the deen?
For the youth, what's my best advice to get closer to the deen? Let me ask you guys a question. Where do you normally find good people? In the masjid. To see all of you faces, all of your faces, my brothers and my sisters, wallahi, you don't understand how much happiness that has brought me. Right? Be close to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be close to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? At the end of the university lecture, I would give five things. Do you remember, Hussein? What were the five things?
At the end of what, sorry?
At the end of every university lecture, I would normally tell the students, hold on to these five things and inshaAllah ta'ala, you'll be bi-idhnillah ta'ala safe. What were the five things? You don't remember?
I attended that one on live.
You can find it at the end of the Surah Yusuf lecture. Are you brothers and sisters with me? At the end of Surah Yusuf lecture. But I'll quickly mention it. The Shabab, and even non-shabab, I don't care what is happening in your life, don't leave off the prayer. Sometimes the shaitan comes to you, and you've probably seen these reels going around of me saying this, huh? Shaitan comes to you and makes you feel hypocritical. How can you pray and you have a girlfriend? How can you pray and you just committed this filth and this evil? Sahih? How can you, isn't that you're feeling dirty? This is a trap from the shaitan. You committing that haram is haram. Na'am. It's a sin. You leaving of the salah is another sin as well. When you keep a relationship with the prayer, my brothers and my sisters, as Allah tells us in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The salah, it removes the filth and the evil from your life. It's only a matter of time. Right? Before, inshaAllah ta'ala, you begin to what? Feel uncomfortable in whatever you are doing. I can tell you guys stories after stories with how the salah changed the lives of some. I have a friend who was running the drug dealing industry in East London. He was running it. Apparently he even has two big houses there in one of the richest areas in East London. And the man is moving drugs from A to B. He has drugs in the car. Time when the salah kicks in, he stops the car, takes out the prayer mat from the back, and then he starts praying. Huh? Three of his non-Muslim friends, they became Muslim. You know why? They were like, this guy is onto something, he never gets arrested. Oh, let's become Muslim as well. Huh? It's probably because he prays. This brother now has changed his life. We took him on Umrah. We have a project where we take drug dealers on Umrah, we brainwash them, and then we send them back. He's flipped his life around, brothers and sisters. Flipped his life around. You know what I put this down to? This man never ever left the salah. Not that I'm saying, oh, you know, do your haram and then pray. La. That's actually a reason why Allah Azza wa Jal, we're told to humiliate you. Some people they know, let me just get away with it. I got away with it once. Let me just try and cheat Allah Azza wa Jal. It doesn't work like that. Right? Allah Azza wa Jal knows what's in your heart. وَمَا تُخْفِ الصُّدُورِ. Don't leave out the salah, brothers and sisters. Right? Also, the second point that I normally mention to the students is the masjid. Keep connection with the masjid. I heard a Kuwaiti sheikh one time mention, and I was sitting in the... Was I sitting in the class? Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. But he said, not tens, not hundreds, but rather thousands. Because he was imam in a masjid for over 15 years. Of people who fell off the religion. And you know what the root cause was? They stopped coming to the masjid. People have said this to me. Some were even students of knowledge. They used to come to the masjid, they studied abroad, they used to come to the masjid. But the moment he disconnected from the masjid, his whole life started going downhill. I know again this narration is debatable as to whether it's authentic or not. Right? There is a narration, إِذَا رَأَيْتُم مَنْ يَعْتَادُ الْمَسْجِدَ فَاشْهَدُوا لَهُ بِالْإِيمَانِ. If you see someone going back and forth to the masjid, then bear witness that he has what? Iman, faith. Right? Some they said is authentic, some they didn't. Inshallah the Shaykh can maybe elaborate on it later, inshallah ta'ala. Ala kulli hal, what we all agree, and you can see this in the meaning of the hadith, is one of the things that increases your iman, right? Coming to the masjid, this is where you find the righteous people. Sahih? This is where the angels are. Huh? You feel this form of tranquility. Yeah. That's number two. And I'll leave the other three, inshallah ta'ala, for you guys to find out when you listen to that lecture. It's right end. I should just watch the whole lecture. Don't just jump to the end. Watch the whole lecture. And then you can find the five at the end, inshallah ta'ala. But the most important thing, brothers and sisters. Sisters, I don't care, right? If you've become the biggest whatever, you're a clubber, let's just say for example. Or you're doing things online, showing yourself. And you know you shouldn't. Don't leave off the salah, right? And by the way, my brothers and my sisters, everyone is welcome in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Last time I checked, the masjid is called Baytullah, sahih? The house of Allah, not the house of Abu Taymiyyah, or the house of so-and-so, or the house of... La. The house of Allah. Everyone should be made to feel comfortable. Even if the guy has plaited hair. Sometimes what happens, the guy's hair is a certain way. Everyone's giving him dirty looks. Why? Why should we? This is the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. Maybe he wants to repent. He's here. You know? Just because he's maybe doing some bad stuff and now he comes to the masjid, that shouldn't mean that you start pushing him away. Likewise, if a sister just walked out of the club and then she came to the masjid, is it right for you now to make her feel uncomfortable or to give her these dirty looks? لا والله وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها. What did the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Follow a bad deed with a good one. Shaykh al-Islam Taymi rahmatullahi alayhi, he says the good deed that you should do is that which comes under the same umbrella as the sin. What do I mean by that? He says mean the same jinns. You use your ears to listen to music. What should you do now with your ears? It's in the Quran. You just walked into a haram place. What should you do? Walk into the masjid. Right? No one has the right to make them feel uncomfortable. And then the other three, inshallah ta'ala, you can find it. And seek knowledge, brothers. That was actually point number five. Seek knowledge. I've given it away. Huh? Seek knowledge, brothers and sisters. Every day even learn a little bit. People think that you only seek knowledge if you want to become the next big sheikh. The knowledge is going to help you in university, brothers and sisters. Let me share something with you guys, right? I went to Loughborough University. You guys heard of Loughborough University? By the way, it's top five, huh? Back in the day. But I didn't actually finish. I only went there for 1 year. I was doing civil engineering. But then I had to make a decision. civil engineering, or should I go to now Al-Medina? Because I got accepted, I had to make a choice. But I was actually going to finish it, right? But I had to either let Medina go or go right now. It was now or never. Because the visa will expire and then khalas. Brothers, you know what I witnessed taking place on the university campus? People like me and you who are learning my religion. Not because he wants to become a Muslim or he wants to be guided, so he could target vulnerable Muslims who are on the edge of their religion. Fishing around, predators. They'll start debating with you. Ah, you don't have the answers? Probably your Islam or your religion, you know, it's got holes in it. No, it doesn't. If you don't have the answers, that doesn't mean Islam has holes in it. And he's shaken to the core. Slowly, slowly, leaves the religion, and his parents don't even know about it. Right? And what helps you in these kind of things? What? Al-ilmu nafi'. Right? And a lot of these issues that we just spoke about today, would you agree, my brothers and my sisters, that ilm would definitely be the solution to a lot of it? If I can protect myself, I can protect the people around me. And through that, you see a community that is built with knowledge that know what they're talking about. You know, recently, right, and this brought me utter joy, the Wood Green Academy. Did you guys hear about that? It's a school in Birmingham. Huh? You may have seen the video going viral all over Twitter. Young children were being interrogated by the teachers, and also the head teacher was there. Right? The brother whose sister is studying at the school, he's messaging me. He's, we talk. These children in the school, they began to talk back. Wallahi, I said, Alhamdulillah. Huh? They really tried to push them, but they talked back. Defending their morals and their values. And that stemmed off from the knowledge that they had. Right? While others sat there, they didn't know what to say. Huh? فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, you see that Allah will save a whole nation because of one person maybe having knowledge. What's my evidence for it? Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. One of the great benefits that we can take from Surah Yusuf, it's my favorite surah. That's why I chose it as a theme when going to the universities. Because you can tackle so many of the societal problems that we have in today's day and age with Surah Yusuf. Right? Whether it's some of the atheistic doubts, whether it is the temptation of women, being thrown into prison, being deserted, betrayal, so many things. One of the benefits that we can take from Surah Yusuf, through Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Azza wa Jal saved countries. Agreed? He had the knowledge to interpret the dream. And when the king he saw that dream, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had that knowledge now to interpret it, and he said we should do X, Y, and Z. Egypt, Palestine, all of these countries, they were saved by it. Allahu Akbar. How with knowledge, subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jal can save so many people. Right? May Allah bless you all. Huh? What about the sisters? Equal rights, right? Huh? Otherwise we'll get called a misogynist. Right? I'm sorry, I took you away from football. Huh?
Any further questions or
shall
we call it?
Why? Barakallahu feekum. I just want to thank the administration of the masjid, Sheikh Abu Hassan, right, who is someone that I've known for many, many years. But, you know, قدر الله ما شاء فعل. Because of commitments, we weren't able to see each other for a long time. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless every single one of you guys and to allow us to die upon Al-Islam and to be strong on our religion. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك